Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
More than likely, you have heard of something called the HEROES Act or the Skinny Act or PPP2. These are terms that have been thrown around. And today, our goal is to simply provide a very high level, simple information session regarding what's going on in Washington regarding additional stimulus funds, additional PPP, additional help for businesses in general. So you've heard about stimulus talks being stalled, and will things pass before the election? Well, today I simply want to just give an understanding. When you hear certain terms, give an understanding of what they are referring to and how it could potentially impact you as an individual and also as a business owner. Number two, we're going to provide an update on the PPP, Loan Forgiveness Program, particularly on the forgiveness aspect and applications. And then just talk a little bit about something called PPP2. So the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, many months ago, passed something called the HEROES Act. And that HEROES Act was pretty significant, several trillion dollars. But that was just passed in the House. And as you know, when something is passed in the House, that's just one of the first steps that it needs to pass also in the Senate. Well, that has not passed in the Senate, so it is not law. But just from an informational standpoint, that HEROES Act that was passed by the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, included a second stimulus check to individuals up to $1,200. The HEROES Act also included a continuation of unemployment benefits, the enhanced unemployment benefits. And of course, for several trillion dollars, it included helping businesses, various industries across the entire spectrum of the U.S. economy. But that act that was passed by the House of Representatives, just keeping it simple, was seen as too expensive by Senate. So the Senate Republicans released their own version, a smaller version that is called, it's referred to as skinny. And as we know, skinny refers to something that is smaller. So that term, you may have heard that term, but that refers to the Senate's comeback saying, hey, this is too expensive. We don't agree with this. We're releasing our own version of another stimulus, and it's called Skinny, the Skinny Bill. It costs less, but originally it did not include a second round of stimulus checks. But I believe at this point that Skinny Bill is right at about $1.8 trillion and that it does include a second round of stimulus checks. So where does all of that stand? Nowhere. They're still back and forth, stalls and negotiations. Some would like for something to be done before election. Businesses are hurting. People are hurting. People need these funds. Businesses need these funds. This help is so, so, so crucial to Americans, period. And so negotiations, I believe, are still going on. And let's be hopeful that there will be a deal that will be let sooner rather than later. This $1.8 trillion, or whatever it ends up being, once the negotiations are finalized and a deal is done, is going to be hopefully a lifeline for many businesses and individuals in this country. It is so sorely needed. So just wanted you to be familiar with, be aware of what the skinny bill or the skinny act, whatever you might call it, the skinny bill is versus HEROES. So HEROES no longer is on the table. It was the larger one and the Senate introduced something different. So probably when they come together and come up with a deal, there'll be some fancy new name for the new act. The original act that was passed back in March, April timeframe was the CARES Act. This will probably be something different. So now let's move to the Paycheck Protection Program 2, or what we call PPP 2. So there was also some talks of, well, we may not have an opportunity to come to the table and come up with a deal on a full stimulus package, on a full package, and a full skinny package. So we may have to spend just our time on just the PPP two component. So you may hear, they're just looking at PPP two. So it's just an attempt to try to get funds out there for businesses once again, if they cannot come up with a deal on the full package. But I believe that the impetus for Nancy Pelosi is really to try to get a full package done and not just the PPP two. So let's talk a little bit about PPP 2. So the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants has renewed its call to Washington, D.C. to extend and expand the Paycheck Protection Program. And as we know that the original Paycheck Protection Program provided relief to businesses of all sizes, all types of businesses, loans that will turn into grants if they are completely forgiven. And that relief is obviously as a result of COVID-19. Well, there's still money on the table. The original Paycheck Protection Program funds were not completely used, but those funds cannot be used at this point. That program applications ended on August the 8th. And so now there are talks around what a PPP2 program would look like. There is a dire need for businesses to be further supported. So it was effective. The original PPP was very effective, but more resources are needed to help Main Street businesses that continue to struggle. There are restaurants and various businesses providing various services that have lost employees, significant revenues, and of course, 34% of certain types of businesses, primarily restaurants, have closed. So businesses continue to struggle, and it's not going to get any better with winter coming up. That's going to further challenge restaurants and bars and hospitality businesses as restrictions continue to come on indoor seating. So it is very hopeful that PPP 2 will happen and that these additional resources will be available to help small businesses during this critical time. Now, please know that it is highly likely that PPP 2 will be targeted towards the smallest of businesses, not businesses that can get multi-million dollar loans, but your everyday mom and pop stores, barbershops, hair salons, small businesses. We don't know what the parameters will be, but that's the sense that we get is that PPP 2 is going to be there to help the smallest of businesses have a lifeline to continue to stay open and to keep people employed. So that is the update on PPP 2. So now let's move to PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, and where that stands in terms of loan forgiveness and what you should be doing. The question that I ask if you're a business owner that received a PPP loan is, are you prepared to make an accounting of what you spent your PPP funds on? If not, you need to do that sooner rather than later. A, you need to know exactly what you spent the funds on and whether those funds were spent on eligible costs. And those eligible costs are primarily personnel related or utilities. Those are primarily those eligible costs. And of course, rent. B, you need to know when your covered period ends. What is covered period? Your covered period is either 8 weeks or 24 weeks. And that is something that you have elected. Once again, if you received your PPP loan after June the 5th, then your covered period is automatically 24 weeks. And when they say 24 weeks, you need to translate that into number of days. And so 24 times 7 is 168 days. You have 168 days to spend your PPP funds if you receive those funds after June the 5th. So you need to know, what is that last day? What is day number 168? If you received your PPP funds before June the 5th, you either have an 8-week period or a 24-week period at your election. If you were fine with the original 8-week period and you spent the funds during that 8-week period, then you elect a 8-week period as the time frame when you apply for forgiveness, and 8 weeks equates to 56 days. So regardless of whether you have an 8-week covered period or a 24-week covered period, you need to know the last day for which you can spend funds. So count those days from, when do you count from? The day the first disbursement was deposited into your account from your lender. So you go to your bank statement and you look to see when those funds hit, the first disbursements, because some businesses received more than one, received multiple, but most smaller businesses just received one deposit. So if your deposit was received or hit your bank account on May the 15th, that's when you start counting. So you count 56 days from May the 15th if you are an 8-week covered period, and you count 168 days from May the 15th if you are a 24-week covered period business. So you need to know the last day of spending those funds. C, make sure you spend all of the funds on only eligible costs by the end of your covered period. All of the funds. D, you should have been, but if you have not been, you should maintain supporting documentation along the way for your expenditures, saving them in a file every time you spend money on payroll or any utility. You're saving your supporting documentation so that in the end, you have supporting documentation to cover every dollar spent of the funds. And finally, you should determine now which forgiveness form is best for you to use. So the good news is that when this loan first came out back in April, there was a forgiveness form that was developed very shortly after. And that forgiveness form is form 3508. Well, guess what? The good news is that very complicated, very long, very detailed forgiveness form has now, it still exists, but there are alternatives to using that form, because Washington realized and the Small Business Association realized, administration realized that, you know, we have small businesses that got this loan. We have individuals that are sole proprietors that receive this loan. And there are loans as small as $1,000, $2,000, up to multi-million dollars. Why should someone who only received $2,000 or $3,000, or $10,000 or $15,000 for that matter, have to provide an extensive amount and answer an extensive amount of questions, the same questions, the same amount of time as a business that received multi-million dollars, $2 million or $1 million for that matter? So they realized that let's not burden the business owners with something that is way too complicated to do. And so two other forms were developed since the 3508 that you have an option to use. So the first option for self-employed individuals with no employees. So if you are self-employed and have no employees in general, you can use form 3508EZ. That's an option for you. And EZ is just like a 1040EZ. It means it's easier than the 3508. So take a look at that form and see if you're eligible to use that form. That's for self-employed with no employees. Now, if you received a PPP loan of $50,000 or less, there is a new forgiveness application form that just came out in October for your use. And that is form 3508S, S as in simple. So if you're a borrower With a loan of $50,000 or less, you can use that form. Generally, there's one exception if you're affiliated with a larger organization that received $2 million, but that's probably not the case for most of you listening. The only math that is required or requested on the 3508S is for you to put in the amount that you're asking to be forgiven. Other than that, there is no other math. It's not like the 3508, which has lots of math. In addition, with the form 3508S, you are exempt from any penalty for having a reduction in any full-time equivalent employees, and you are exempt from any penalty for a reduction in any employee's salaries or wages. So that's a good thing. So as you look at that form, you do need to be aware of, while there is only one number that you would need to put in, you would need to certify. You need to certify. There are going to be several statements that you will need to read and certify that or attest to certain things if they are the case. You're going to be certifying something to the effect that did you use the funds per in accordance to how the program allowed you to use the funds. That's one example of what you would need to certify on the 3508S. So please be aware and start to pull. Certainly, most of you that are listening are probably of smaller businesses. Some may be a little larger, but I would advise you just to even just from a comparison standpoint, pull all three. Go just Google. You just go out there or go to the SBA website or to your lender. You've probably already been contacted by your lender and they've probably already given you a link to the forgiveness portal for you to start applying. There is no rush, but be aware that there are options. So I would not rush. I would take a look at all three forms. Look at 3508 by itself just to see what you would have had to do. Then, if you're self-employed, look at 3508EZ and make sure you look at the instructions, the what businesses are qualified to complete the 3508EZ. There may be a threshold on the amount of income that you have where it pushes you to use a different form. You just need to take a look at that. And then finally, look at 3508S as well. But I would imagine that the majority of you would be eligible to use 3508S or 3508EZ. Now, keep in mind that while it's a simple form, 3508S, and while 3508EZ is also simple, that does not mean you will not have to submit documentation when you apply for forgiveness. You will still have to submit your documentation and your lender will tell you how much, what type of documentation you would need to submit. So that does not alleviate or eliminate the requirement for documentation. What you are getting is less stress, less time on calculations that's required on the main 3508. Also keep in mind that this is a government loan. And so it is subject to a review or audit by government officials at any time. So you are required to maintain all of your documentation, everything. You should have maintained your original application. Of course, you maintaining the loan agreement itself, and you're maintaining all of the supporting documentation for every penny that you spent. And finally, you're maintaining your forgiveness application itself when you submit that in. From beginning to end, your application to that where you applied for the loan, your application for forgiveness, the actual loan agreement that you signed, and all of the documentation for your expenditures. All of that should be maintained for 6 years. 6 years. So you can maintain that electronically, or you can maintain a hard copy of all that, but just make sure that you have it available, because after you apply for forgiveness, you will have moved on to other things. But if you are subject to some type of review or audit, you will have to pull that out, and you will need to be able to get to it fairly easily. You do not want to be stressed, and it's in some storage cabinet off-site, and you could run into some trouble there. So we wanted to just simply provide you with the updates and information relating to Skinny and Heroes, PPP2, and preparing yourself to be in the best position that you can be in applying for PPP loan forgiveness. I hope that this information has provided you was somewhat helpful to you. And we really do appreciate you listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we strive to take the complicated financial parts of your life and business and make it easy for you to understand. Things are complicated. Every day, terms are thrown around. Techie people speak in technical terms that sometimes we don't understand. Accounting and finance people speak in terms we don't always understand. We hear things on television as we're watching the news and we don't quite understand. Well, we need to get an understanding. So what we strive to do is take something that is usually complicated for someone to understand and break it down into bite-sized nuggets that anyone, even someone in elementary school, middle school, can understand. The goal is to keep it simple, keep it clear, and be informative. So thank you for listening to Basic Money Matters.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.